The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Queue, of course. My name is Mark Bland, and you are listening to us on KYRO, WestplexNewsTalk.com, the 1280 below torch on the AM side for the Midwest. That's where we are hailing from, and this is The Queue. I would like to let you guys know that we are sponsored by American Patriot Beer. That's right, AmericanPatriotBeer.com. Go check them out. Today on the show, we have a lot to discuss. And I mean a lot to discuss. We have ourselves a brand new vice presidential running candidate. Also, we have ourselves, another vice presidential running candidate. That's going to be awesome. As well as we have my favorite person and your favorite person too, Matt Krueger, who is joining us today on the show. How you doing, Matt?
I am doing pretty good, actually.
All right, that's good stuff.
You know, when you said 1280 blowtorch, I thought you were initially saying 1280 below. I was like, man, that's cold.
Yeah, no, we're not 1280 below. We're on the blowtorch called 1280 KYRO out of the Midwest.
Yeah, but like in my head, like what I first processed it as was cold temperature.
Now, for some of the new information that I'd like to pass on to everyone out there who listens to The Queue, all the fans we got in Norway and Ireland and Atlanta and Las Vegas and New York and all over the United States, thank you so much for listening to the show every single week. Make sure you check out American Patriot Beer. That's our new sponsor. So we want all you guys to do that. But some new changes with the show. We are currently in the movement of making the weekend show the more permanent like version of The Queue.
Okay.
So it's going to come off to about an 85-minute show. 85 to 90 minute show every single week for you out there to get your fix, as well as that's where we're going to be gearing all that. Now, every once in a while, I'm going to do an uncensored show. Going to do an uncensored show, hour long uncensored, because I like the hour long format. I thought the hour long format was solid. But let's get into this, Matt. Let's talk a little bit about this. Paul Ryan is now the vice presidential candidate for the GOP, and he's got a lot of Tea Party ties. A lot of Tea Party ties, which here's the funny thing, and this is what I brought to everyone's attention. I brought this to everyone's attention. Here's a guy that if he had Mitt Romney's money behind him, he's young enough and popular enough within his own conservative roots that he could have taken on Barack Obama directly by himself. He just doesn't have that Mitt Romney money. And taking the VP slot is always, you know, that's a good way to get your foot in the door, obviously. You know what I'm saying? Former vice president of the United States. It's not a bad look. But Paul Ryan, I think this is the GOP not expecting to win this fall. I think that this is them setting up for 2016. I think by giving Paul Ryan the
slot.
So
they're setting up for failure to perhaps succeed 4 years from now?
Yes. Sometimes you have to realize that the person everybody wanted doesn't always get the nod. So then you try to do the best. You try to make lemonade out of lemons, okay?
So now we're getting Paul Ryan for 2016 as the presidential candidate.
Probably. That's where I'm thinking it. Because think about this. He won't be going against a popular incumbent. I mean, Barack Obama is a popular incumbent president.
Right.
And on top of it, he is young, just like Barack Obama was. Mm-hmm. He'll have a new challenger. He won't have to worry about all that. Plus, by going through the vested process like Sarah Palin did 4 years ago, except for he's less nuts in general.
Okay.
There's a good chance that he's just going to become the darling of the party in 4 years from now. Boom. Get exactly what he wants.
So if he plays his cards right, answers all the questions the right way, shows everyone, hey, yeah, I got a brain, and loses, there's a good chance 2016 he's the guy.
Well, I think it's just smart from the older. I think that the Republican Party is starting to learn that this whole John McCain, Mitt Romney, the old man that you want to throw out there to be president of the United States, the Dick Cheneys, the George Bushes. That's by the wayside now.
But I want an old man because
you don't
old
want a man.
Yes, I do, because they're experienced.
Right, but see, the world has changed so much since those old men came into existence. You do the majority of your learning as a human being between the ages of 20 and 45.
I don't want a guy learning on the job.
That's my point. at 45 or 42, as Paul Ryan is, he's near the end of that learning aspect of his life, yet he's still young enough, just like Bill Clinton was, just like Barack Obama was, to potentially take the reins as a young GOP and conservative and run the country properly. That's kind of what I think that they're gearing for. And I see what you're saying. You know, you want that wisdom, that experience. But at the same point, the world's changed. It's different. Dick Cheney didn't know nothing about Twitters and Facebook and internet and all that stuff. He didn't care. He didn't care about none of that stuff. But you need someone who does understand that stuff. That's why Barack was popular in 2008. He did embrace Twitter and Facebook. He did care about these things. And the young voters, who are the ones that are coming up, they're the ones who are the, you know, their vote counts just as much as anyone else's.
Okay.
You know, so you don't feel so relegated in the long run. So I think that that's kind of where we're at. I don't think it's an issue. I think Paul Ryan knows, kind of walking into this, that, you know, he could become president. It's possible that Mitt Romney and them win.
Right.
I'm not going to knock them down.
They could.
They don't have the chance at all of winning. They have the chance of winning. I just don't see, like, a lot of people don't like Mitt. And, you know, someone said something to me the other day that made me think of why a lot of people don't like Mitt Romney. And this is the best... This is the best example I can give. Mitt's kind of like that neighbor you never talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And when you wave at him a few times, he just doesn't wave back. He makes eye contact, but he just don't care.
You know what that always leads to? Just peeking out of the mini blinds.
You know what else? Also, you know, kind of like the guy who's trying to merge in traffic. You let him over. He doesn't wave to you to let you know, hey, thanks for letting me merge into traffic. Because through his brain, the way he's thinking of things is it's like, oh, I was going to have this merge given to me regardless. So why should I say thanks for it?
Entitled.
It's an entitled thing. And I think that that's the problem with Mitt. Mitt feels entitled. I mean, I don't know how much you know about Mitt or what you've been paying attention to on Mitt Romney and all that, but he feels entitled to me. And I'm not knocking him for that. Everybody's a little different. Everybody's kind of got their own different flow and feel of who they are as a person. It takes a million kinds of people to make this world up.
Now, I'm going to go off on a little tangent, but it's not a huge one.
Sure.
I'm going to basically try to relate what you just told me in a way that I know how.
Okay.
So I'm reading Game of Thrones, right?
Right.
A Song of Ice and Fire. And it's basically all of these kings vying for power. So, like, presidents trying to win the election. Only, you know, they're kings, so they do it with, like, war and swords. And there's a lot of deceit going on and a lot of different power plays that happen. And there's this boy king, and he has grown up his entire life thinking that he is entitled to be king, that it is deserved, it is his family's right. That
I
he
don't
is
know if Joffrey
king.
Is necessarily the director.
No, this is not Joffrey.
Oh,
this
it's
is,
a different
this
one.
This is somebody else that happens later on in the series.
I don't know. I only watch the TV show. Fair.
But then there's this newcomer who has... bled with the people. He swam in the rivers. He knows what it's like to hunger. He knows what it's like to be poor, and he knows what it's like to fight. And he sees being king not as his right, but as a duty that he can do for the people.
Yes. Mitt Romney, in my opinion, if we were to use Game of Thrones as an example, I would say he closely resembles the Joffrey's dad, the brother.
Okay. Jaime Lannister.
Jaime Lannister. He most is like Jaime Lannister.
Okay.
And the fact that, you know, when Mitt Romney gets taken by the queen and put into the drudges and, like, shackled up to a fence, he's going to think about how cool the story is going to be to tell everyone when he gets out. He's already assuming he's getting out. Like, there's no question of me here.
They're on their way. I'll be fine.
Right, I'll be fine.
I just kind of sit here for a little bit.
I just got to do what I've got to do because it's not a problem. You know, Christmas is always easy at Mitt Romney's house. Now, I'm not knocking Mitt Romney. Like, he's never been the kid who didn't have something. You know what I'm saying? Because that's not true. Mitt Romney made his money just like every other good businessman.
He's never wanted for anything except for the presidency.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I don't know who I would equate Barack Obama to on Game of Thrones. I think Barack, to me, I don't, he's not as devious as Tyrion.
No.
I wouldn't say he's like that at all. He's definitely not like the girl, what's her name?
Daenerys.
Daenerys' brother. He's not like that.
Viserion? Or Viserys, yeah.
You know, You know. Honestly, he might be the Water Brother, the brother from the Sea Shower, the Sea
Theon.
Theon, yeah, the Sea where he goes back to his family.
Oh my God, Theon. Okay,
like, but he could be like Theon, like in the fact that he just like Theon hasn't realized who he is and like where he. Theon's not one of those guys that overthinks his spot.
Mm-hmm.
He just, you know, has trouble like fitting in real easy.
Okay.
You know, he tried to be king, or he tried to go take over, what was it, Snow's Land, John Snow's
Winterfell.
Winterfell. He tried to take over Winterfell.
Didn't go
as well as he wanted it to, and he realized, oh, shoot, near the end there, wow, this isn't as good as I thought.
Right. It's a little bit harder. I kind of got a little over my head.
Maybe I should go back to kicking it with John, because John liked me, and we were friends, and we grew up together, you know.
Okay.
We always like to do letters from the listeners.
I love now, we're gonna it's do, like my favorite aspect. I wonder who else, like listeners.
We're going to do letters from the listeners here in a minute, but I got a special letter that I had sent to me.
Okay.
And, you know, I just wanted to kind of read this letter to you because the Q tend to talk about politics.
Yeah.
As well as entertainment and current events. So, basically it says, Mark, recently while I was working in the flower beds in the front yard, my neighbors stopped to chat as they returned home from walking their dog. During our friendly conversation, I asked their little girl what she wanted to be when she grows up. She said she wanted to be a president someday.
Lots of little kids say that.
Both of her parents, liberal Democrats, were standing there, so I asked her, if you were a president, what would be the first thing you would do? She replied, I'd give food and houses to the homeless people. Her parents beamed with pride. Wow, what a worthy goal, I said. But you don't have to wait until you're president to do that. I told her, what do you mean, she said. So I told her, you can come over to my house and mow the lawn, pull the weeds, and trim the hedge, and I'll pay you $50. Then you can go over to the grocery store where the homeless guy hangs out and give him $50 to use towards food and new houses. She thought over a few seconds, and then she looked me straight in the eye and asked, why doesn't the homeless guy just come over and do the work, and you can just pay him the $50, I said. Welcome to the Republican Party. Her parents aren't speaking to me anymore. And I think I guess my first thing would be to say, homeless people are just lazy, no for good bums.
Some.
Right? That are disabled or mentally ill. Let's just be honest. Let's just throw that out there. That's what all homeless people are. No homeless person would ever, you know, like, I saw this.
Some homeless people choose to be homeless. Some homeless people are victims of circumstance, and some homeless people are either disabled or handicapped
and
in
I
some
saw,
way.
I saw a meme on the internet this past week that I absolutely loved. It was, let's just take a bunch of lazy homeless people and give them a bunch of money and then sit there while our society collapses, said no liberal ever. Which is probably very true. Like, as a liberal myself, or a moderate, I don't sit there and go, like, I don't take things out of context. I'm not going to take something out of context. I'm not going to go to the extreme with it. The fact that somebody gives somebody $10 and says, hey, take this. I know you're down on your luck. Go use it for whatever you would like to use it for.
Go get a chicken basket and a monster drink, man.
Right. That doesn't mean that they're lazy idiots that should, you know, be forced to work for that $10. Like, that's just not how the world works. And for anyone out there who runs around with your guns on your hips talking about freedom this, America that, you know, I get it. Like, I understand where you're coming from. I know who you are as people. You like your NASCAR, right? It's on every Sunday. Cars that go in a circle on a track over and over 500 times. It's easy to watch. You don't have to pay attention. Hell, you don't even really have to know the names of the cars. You just need to know the color and who's sponsoring them, and then you'll be fine.
Man, that guy really likes Tide.
He likes Tide and number 53. That's all there is to it.
Turning left.
That's a turning left. That's all you need to know. And I get it. Like, listen, cracking that beer can open, I understand. You're cracking yourself a good, delicious American Patriot beer open each time. Crack American Patriot. It's so simple. Just keep cracking them tops and watching the guy turn left. I understand.
You know why beer and NASCAR go together so well? Because while watching NASCAR, there's not much else to do. That's why an American Patriot would go so well with it.
I get people that hit me up on a weekly basis, Matt, a weekly basis on this show, and they tear into me, saying I'm a racist, saying that I'm prejudiced towards conservatives, saying that I'm just, like, lofty in my opinion of myself, I'm an arrogant whatever, you know, just 1,000 different things that these guys say.
So you're not?
No, there is none of those things that are true whatsoever. You're taking a smidgen of a comment or a section of something I said.
Uh-huh.
You're not listening to 50 straight hours of my show.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking this 5 seconds or five minutes of whatever I said,
mm-hmm.
and you're going, I just disagree with them. Which is the difference between, and I had this discussion this week, the difference between truly liberals and conservatives is this. We just tend to disagree and go, okay, it's cool. You have a different opinion. Go ahead and vote for Mitt Romney. We're not going to hold it against you. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if Matt came to me, because he's a conservative, and said, hey, man, I'm really going to be honest with you. I'm voting for Mitt Romney. I'd be like, okay, great. High five. No big deal. You do your thing. I'm going to do mine. I'm going to vote for who I vote for.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But with conservatives, it seems in a majority, like Travis and a lot of the younger conservatives, I get this, who are you voting for? Oh, I'm going to vote for Barack Obama. What? Well, and then it has to become an hour-long discussion about why I shouldn't be voting for Brett. No, it's just my opinion. That's where I stand. Just
right.
go, I accept that,
but
and move on with your
but
life.
But it's also their opinion, and if it's something that they feel passionate about because they care for their country,
oh, no.
and they think that that their opinion is what is best for the country, then why wouldn't they try to convince you and show you their side?
I know.
Some people go about it a little bit more strongly than yeah. others, but there's a right way and a wrong way and an okay way to do
it. I know
things.
Coming on my show that every single week that the 6,000, 6,500 plus listeners that download this show each week and listen to it and enjoy this show. I know some of them are conservatives that just want to hear me so that they have something to beat on their steering wheel in their car about.
Mm-hmm.
I get that.
Can't believe that.
Yeah, but you'll download it the next week.
Mm-hmm.
You'll download it the next week. And don't bump my microphone again. My goodness. You just
it was a sound effect.
It was
the steering wheel.
You're way over on the other side of the board, too. Like, how did you get your microphone over here? To bump my microphone. Anyway, regardless of that. And the other half of it is a bunch of Democrats and liberals that just don't have anyone that speaks on their behalf.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Democrats and liberals, like, okay, here's what I want to do. Let's do this right now. Okay?
Okay.
Because I think that this is important.
We're doing this.
It's happening.
Oh, it's real.
It's dang real. Okay, let's Democrat definition. What is the actual definition of a Democrat?
It's okay. Probably going to be a 5-paragraph essay.
An advocate or supporter of democracy. That's what it says, right?
Uh-huh.
An advocate and supporter of democracy, which is technically what a Democrat is, okay? So, let's see what the definition of democracy is, because you're an advocate for it.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Democracy, a system of government by the whole population or all the eligible members of state, typically through elected representatives. Okay, so it's all about the election.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an advocate for people being elected into positions, okay?
Choice of the people.
So that means once the people get into those positions, whether they're a Tea Party person, a conservative, a liberal, it doesn't matter. Once they get into those positions, it is their job to do the job that they need to do to support our government and our system of life and do their best that they can.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to knock them for making decisions. Listen, I'm not a big George Bush supporter, but I don't knock the man for going over and trying to get Osama bin Laden. I didn't like the fact that that it turned into a war that ended up lasting, almost 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like that, but I didn't have a problem with him going after Osama bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a problem with him going after these bad people that did this stuff on 9/11. I had no problem with that at all. So to sit there and think every single time, oh, you've got it all figured out. You don't have it all figured out. You just don't. Because, Matt, did you enjoy the war? Were you a big supporter of the war in Iraq?
Of the war? No. I don't really generally support war. I support troops.
Right. You support troops.
Because it's not, I mean, yeah, it's their choice to sign up.
We've had this discussion before.
Yeah. It's their choice to sign up, but it's not their choice to go to war. It's their choice to sign up. They do it for their own reasons. They get told what to do. They do it because that's their job. That's what they signed on for. Whether they agree or disagree, it doesn't matter. So I support them because, hey, man, people need a job.
Now, see, I do, and I've talked about this on the show before, and this does get me emails every single time, and I'm not against the United States military troops at all. But this whole idea that because you went overseas and because you fought for our country—
Mm-hmm.
that you should be entitled to something. No. You're not entitled to anything. You see, the day they told you that they were going to send you off to boot camp and you signed the little contract to get into the United States military,
you knew what you were getting into.
They knew that the potential of war could be happening.
Mm-hmm.
Because wars just happen out of nowhere sometimes.
War is unfortunately, a way of life.
Right. So I don't feel that you're entitled. Now, do I appreciate your service to our country?
Definitely.
Hell yes, I do.
Doing something that I myself cannot do, you have all of my thanks.
Do I appreciate you for sleeping in dirt and wiping off with, like, mud and shooting down camel spiders that are the size of a house?
Definitely.
Yeah, I have a lot of respect for you, and I think that you're a great human being for that, and I don't ever, I'm never going to take that away from you.
But don't talk down to me because I didn't do it.
Right, because my theory is this. Just because I didn't go into the Army, the minute Red Dawn happens and they start coming out of parachutes over Missouri and they just start dropping with their AK-47s and taking out my brothers and sisters and Matt and other people like that, they're just shooting and stuff randomly,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to pick up a gun and I'm going to shoot at them just like they did back in the Revolutionary War.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to sign
militia.
Up for the Army. Yeah, you didn't have to sign up. Well, it's not even a militia thing. You didn't have to sign up for the Army.
Guerrilla warfare.
Right, you didn't have to sign up for the Army in the Revolutionary War to fight off the British. Okay, and I don't need to do that to fight off whoever's trying to invade my land right now in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to. But don't sit there and, now, there's going to be people who are trained in military aspects that are more trained than I am.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm probably going to bow down to them and listen to what they have to say because they're a little bit more knowledgeable when it comes right down to it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same point, don't think that you're a better individual, okay? I also, the
you
guns...
You just have a different set of skills.
Also, no one's taking your guns away. Stop thinking because of the Colorado shooting and all this, just because libs shoot off at their mouths every once in a while,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't mean that they're like sitting there thinking that Barack Obama or, you know, it's not that way. No one's coming to your house, knocking on your door and physically taking your guns.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't happening. And it hasn't happened in the history of our country.
And there's shootings every day. Somebody, yes. somebody dies every
somebody
day.
Somebody dies every single day. I will tell you what I think is funny. And speaking of the Colorado shooting, did you hear that in Chicago about 2 months before this Colorado shooting,
mm-hmm.
over Memorial Day weekend, 40 different people were shot in, like, 15 of them died in
okay.
Chicago over Memorial Day weekend.
That seems like a lot.
That's a lot of people in one city to be shot. But you didn't hear about it on the national news because he didn't go into one theater one time and take out a whole bunch at the same time.
It wasn't just one guy. It was a... It was isolated incidents, and it just so happens to be a crap load of them.
Now, a quick question for you, Mr. Matt.
Yeah.
Do you ever watch old TV shows?
It depends.
Like Welcome Back, Cotter?
I loved Welcome Back, Cotter. Welcome back.
And you know that Horshack passed away today.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, Horshack passed away this past week. I'm sorry, not today.
Hey,
and,
Mr. Cotter.
Really sad to hear that because from everything I've ever heard about the guy, he was a decent person. Last time I saw Horshack, honestly, though.
Celebrity boxing.
Celebrity boxing against Screech.
Screech, yeah.
Yeah, and he got his butt handed to him, which is kind of crazy.
Well, Screech is a trained fighter, like taekwondo and karate.
All right. Well, listen, it's time for us to we're heading up towards the break here on the show. CBS News is at the bottom of the hour. I want to encourage you all, go to awr.podomatic.com. Check out Savage Vibrations that Matt hosts, mm-hmm. along with his guest host, Mark, every once in a while. And
who's that guy, Mark?
Yeah, that guy, Mark. Go check that out. Also, don't forget to check out theqnow.com, theqnow.com. We've got old shows. We've got new shows. And... yeah, we've got good shows. That's all there is
great
to it.
Great shows.
Great shows. Savage Vibrations as well as The Q. These are two great shows, and I think that you all need to be checking these guys out. Also, don't forget we are sponsored by American Patriot Beer, AmericanPatriotBeer.com. Go get yourself some light or some regular or some whatever you want because it's delicious every time. We'll be back on The Q right after this.
With all these buyouts and all of our companies going overseas, there's no reason our beer needs to be owned by a foreign company.
American Patriot Beer is a crisp, clean lager, full of flavor and full of American spirit.
And it's being brought to you by some of the very same Americans who lost their jobs to buyouts. You're going to love it.
It's all been made right here in the USA. The bottles, the grains, even the paper for the cartons.
One taste is all it takes. American Patriot and American Patriot Light. Now available in bottles and cans.
Train just keeps rolling on, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Q. Of course, Mark Bland, Matt Krueger.
Rolling, rolling, rolling.
Keep them rolling, doggies rolling. Are you ready? Boom, 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 boom. Limp Bizkit.
Keep rolling, 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 rolling.
Yeah. All right. So, welcome back to The Q. Of course, Mark Bland, sponsored by American Patriot Beer. Matt, revised list of fattest states. Have you heard about this?
No.
The Center for Disease Control and Prevention has just released the newest map charting obesity across the United States of Fatlandia. That is our new nickname. The United States of Fatlandia. And here's the verdict for 2011, which was last year. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention should spend less time making maps because we are all obese and they are doing a terrible job of controlling and preventing that in general.
Wait, who?
Yes. The CDC, where zombies will not be able to infiltrate.
Is doing a poor job of controlling and curbing obesity?
Yes.
So, since when is it their job?
I don't think it ever was their job.
It's not their job.
While no state is slim or worthy of love, the least obese is Colorado, where a little more than one-fifth of the population is believed to be obese. Excuse me.
You gonna live?
Other snobby states who think that they're too good to be obese include Hawaii and Massachusetts. California, New Jersey, Arizona, Connecticut, Nevada, New York, Utah, and Wyoming also had an obesity rate of 25 or under. Montana's on that list, too, because Montana has a freaking eating disorder, and I know we're not supposed to talk about it here, but now it's been said. Okay?
All right.
Mississippi had the highest obesity rate in 2011, 34.9%, but also such vibrant personality and face that you could tell might be really pretty. So she was just a really pretty. Mississippi's a really pretty state. She's got a nice personality.
All right.
Nice personality. Other states with obesity prevalence of 30% or more, Alabama, Arkansas, Indiana, Kentucky, Louisiana, Michigan, Mississippi, ding, 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 Missouri. Yes. Oklahoma, South Carolina, Texas, and West Virginia. So all you fat Missourian conservatives out there, stop eating your ho-hos. Seriously.
I just want to interject. I've lost 13 pounds in the last 2 months.
That's fantastic.
And I wasn't fat to begin with.
The big news for 2011 is that Tennessee has moved from the list of the most obese down to the list of almost the most obese. So that's worked out really well. While Indiana has soared to great new lows, taking Tennessee's place on the list of the fat shamed. So that is where we are at in the world that we live in now, Matt. Missouri, you got some fatties out there. Most of you live in probably outstate, outside of St. Louis Metro proper. Maybe more.
Yeah, I don't see
towards
too,
Troy.
I don't see too
Warrington.
Many obese people like on my daily outings.
Yeah, but
I might
what
see
do you
some...
consider obese? That's the thing. Like what we consider normal day to day sizes for people now, some of them might fall into the obese category.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
I guess.
I mean, not everybody is going to be like huffing and puffing and wheezing like, Fatty McGee.
Yeah. I don't know. Just if you got a FUPA, you might be obese.
Possibly.
But generally, I mean, I don't know. I see a lot of skinny people.
See a lot of skinny people. I see a lot of fatties in Missouri.
Maybe I just don't spend a lot of my time staring at the fatties.
That's probably true.
I mean,
you don't really... Do you like dating fat women?
No.
I don't think anyone likes dating fat women.
Apparently, they like dating me because that's all I really get.
I think. Well, we had a friend of ours who was on Plenty of Fish,
yeah.
And he has now since debunked his account.
Yeah, he's like, I am no longer a member of Plenty of Fish. Well, why? Too many fatties.
Yeah, there's
that was his explanation.
There seems to be a lot of big women in Missouri specifically that think that it's okay to be large and in charge, and we're like,
and
no.
And only take a headshot?
Listen, I don't want to have to throw flour to find... Never mind. One of the new words, the next edition of Webster's Dictionary will define F-bomb, sexting, and man cave. They're going to be entering into the lexicon that we use on a daily basis. Well, they're already there. I'm just saying. Now they're going to be official because they're going to be in Webster's Dictionary.
That sounds stupid.
100 new words have made their way into the Merriam-Webster's August Lexicon of English Language, and among them are some of the more colorful expressions used by speakers of the modern tongue, such as your controversial, lovely host here, Mark Bland. F-bomb, man cave, aha moment. I don't even know what aha moment is.
Aha!
Sexting and gastropub are just a few of the terms
gastropub?
Given official definitions in the 2012 edition of Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary. Now, I'm hoping this takes me to... No, it doesn't. I need to find out what gastropub is. Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna go here.
Just right click and search.
Right click and you can do that? I didn't even know that you could do that on these computer on these newfangled computers and stuff like this.
Yeah.
Look at you all up to date.
Highlight the word. No, you got.
Oh, you
got
to highlight.
Highlight
it?
The word.
Oh, okay.
Right click.
Wow.
Search. See how that's right there? Look at that.
Wow.
Gastropub. Ooh. Wikipedia page. Look at that. That means it's official, right?
Well, you know, let's be honest. A lot of people give a. a lot of what's the word I'm trying to say? They give a lot of hellfire to Wikipedia, saying that it's not so official. But for the most part, when you're looking up just general simple things like this, mm-hmm. you could get a pretty good idea of exactly what they're talking about.
It's not your Encyclopedia Dramatica.
The term gastropub, a portmanteau of gastronomy and pub, originated in the United Kingdom in the late 20th century. British pubs were drinking establishments, and little emphasis was placed on serving of food. If pubs served meal, they were usually basic cold dishes such as plowman's lunch. In South England, it was common until recent times for vendors to sell cockles, whelks, mussels, and shellfish. So I guess gastropub means over in Europe...
food and beer.
A food and beer place, which we just call that a bar and grill.
Applebee's.
Yeah, we just call it Applebee's here.
So Applebee's is a gastropub.
Yes.
Applebee's. That sounds like hipster talk, and I'm not going to use it.
You love hipsters.
No.
You hate hipsters?
I don't hate anybody.
What's wrong with hipsters?
They're annoying.
Tell me why.
Entitlement.
Tell everyone why.
It's like, oh, dude, man, I was totally listening to Coldplay before they were even, like, calling themselves Coldplay. You know?
Do you like the fact that they take A-tracks, strap them onto the back of recumbent bicycles, and then try to roll around with the bigger wheel up front and the smaller wheel in the back?
What's a recumbent bicycle?
That's the big wheel up front and the small, tiny wheel, the old 1920s bicycles from, like, the fairs. The real tall ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what a hipster would ride. They would be like,
I've never seen anybody ride one of those outside of a black and white drawing.
I have noticed this more and more going into Walmarts and Targets and places like that. The old style bicycle, the old Schwinn style that Pee Wee Herman rode in his movie.
Like beach bicycles.
The Pee Wee Herman bicycle.
Okay.
They're becoming more prevalent now. Yeah. They're selling.
50-60 Schwinn.
Yeah, they're selling the buttload out of them.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to me. I don't understand where that's coming from.
It's hip.
Yeah. Oh, is it hip?
Yeah. Hence the phrase hipster. I wonder if hipster's in the dictionary.
Probably not. I would assume that hipster is in there. I'm looking for some other great stories for us to talk about here. Let's do a letter from the editor, or listener, editor. Letter from the editor, letter from myself. Let's do a letter from a listener, because I have a whole bunch of these that I never really get a chance to do. So
we just pick, you know, really kind of at random. Sometimes we go through them and it's like, oh, well, here's the best, but...
Let's see here. This one comes from Mike out of Boston, Massachusetts. Mark, huge fan of the show. I have a story for you, and I'm interested to find out your opinion of my question. I was at a Toys R Us with my younger brother for his birthday when I had to use the washroom. I ran to the nearest stall, thinking it was empty, pulled my pants down, and my butt proceeded to play the trumpet. I mean, it was the wettest, disgusting... I have ever taken. I could feel my stomach bubbles erupting through my butt. After the chaos was over, I started cleaning up, and I heard footsteps coming closer and closer to the door and froze up. Under the stall door, I could see size 15 lumberjack boots, and in a really deep, husky voice, the guy knocks on the door and politely asks if he can see my stuff before I flush. I kindly said no, and he just walked out. I got the blank out of that store as fast as I could. So, what's something you'll remember for the rest of your life?
What?
Wow. So, you're in the back. I think we had a story similar to this. Remember the Barnes & Noble story?
Yeah.
Where the guy, like, he was, like, collecting. What is up with fecal matter collectors and people that want to see fecal matter in all these stores around the United States? I don't understand this.
A scat fetish?
Evidently, and they send their stories to me. They send all their stories to me. Like I'm like putting out like, please send your scat stories to Mark Bland in care of the Q. By the way, if you ever want to email me directly, you can mark@theqnow.com. So you can always hit me there. Or you go to theqnow.com and check the contact page.
I had to sit back in my chair while you read that because I was just like, where is this? Oh my gosh.
So Matt, what is something that you will remember for the rest of your life? If it's a not safe for work type thing, I would say try to like gloss up as best you can.
Something I will remember for the rest of my life. Actually, I gave you an example of this the other day while we were watching wrestling, and it was that Chris Benoit with Raven in the Crippler Crossface.
Something you'll remember for the rest of your life that pops to your memory.
The glossed over look, the eyes that roll back in the head, the purple plum color of Raven's face.
Of losing asphyxiation.
As he just goes limp and refuses to tap out.
I'm going to go a little bit less psychotic.
It was a wrestling thing. I was a kid when I saw it, but yeah.
I'm going to go with the night that me and my brother decided to get drunk on the border of Utah and Arizona. We were at Grand Glaze Park, which is a part of, they call it Waweep for short over there. It is a national park that's kind of like Lake of the Ozarks.
Okay.
Huge lake, or Lake Havasu if you live out in California. And it's a lake basically in the middle of red rocks and sand and desert. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's beautiful though. It's a beautiful lake. Well, just outside the park is the state line between Utah and Arizona. And if you know anything about Utah and Arizona, they're on two different time schedules, even though they're right above and below each other.
Huh.
If you're in Utah, you're an hour ahead, mountain time. And if you're in Arizona, you're an hour behind in West Coast time.
Okay.
Pacific time. So me and my brother decide to scanter off a bottle of Jack Daniels between the two of us, get into a car, drive the 5 minutes to the state border that's right outside the gates of this national park because there's a resort inside of it, and we decide to stand on the state line with the sign, right where the sign is, and then I would jump forward and say Utah, and then backwards and say Arizona.
You were a time traveler.
Yeah, I was time traveling back and forth. And then on top of that, after that, we decided to jump in the car. Although I do not condone drinking and driving, and neither does American Patriot Beer or any of the sponsors of this show. We decided to jump in the car and go out about 15 minutes out towards where there was no light. Mm-hmm. And when we got out of the car and we laid on the hood of this car, this rental car, it was gorgeous. It was every star in the sky that you could ever think of was right there in front of you. There was no lights. You were in the middle of the desert.
No light pollution.
Gorgeous. It was amazing. And you saw tons of shooting stars. There are shooting stars going off all the time. You just never see them because you only see the stars that get through the light pollution.
Uh-huh.
Man, only the brightest ones. I saw everything, dude. We saw multiple shooting stars. We saw all the constellations. You couldn't even pick the constellations out because there was so little light pollution. You saw so many stars, you couldn't even pick the constellations out.
Hmm.
Except for like Polaris and all that. So, okay. Mark, well, there's always these nice ones. Mark, how can I make your life suck less? Well, thank you, Tammy from Minnesota.
I have a PayPal account.
yeah, you could donate to the show. You could donate to the show. You could always get other listeners to get involved. Make them go to theqnow.com and download the shows and listen to the shows. Or listen to us live on Westplex News Talk each week.
The shows are always – you always post the links on Facebook, don't you?
Yeah, Facebook.
So you can always just hit that little share button and share it with all your friends.
Guys, this is an interesting one.
Send us ideas for the shows. There
Mark,
you go.
What do you feel is the best way to approach a guy at a bar anywhere else in public?
Wait, so this is a girl asking?
Yes, this is a girl. Brittany.
Okay. So if Brittany is a girl...
Wants to approach a guy at a bar, what's the easiest, best way? Like, we're going to give some love advice here. Like, how can you approach a
really,
guy at a bar?
Really? It's very simple. Hi, I'm Brittany, and flash a smile. That's really all it takes.
Hi, I'm Brittany.
For most guys, that's really all it's going to take.
I have a real question for you. If a girl walked up to you and flashed her boobies at you, would you be willing to go down that road and talk to her?
Or I might be willing to have some fun.
Or is that a situation where like that's just in public, in a bar, even though it's a fun place and a social place? That's a little too over the line. Like, that's just too much in my face. Like, you were just so willing to just flash your stuff at me. Like, I don't know if I really need to go down. Like, because you might think that she's AJ crazy, you know, or something
well,
like that.
Well, I dig crazy chicks. The whole thing. I have a problem with picking the crazy women, and apparently crazy women like to pick me. So I would probably be all about that.
See, now I wouldn't. I would get turned off by that. Not the fact that I'm married and I have two kids, but I would get turned off from the a girl. See, like, I'm not against a girl flashing her boobs because I would enjoy that.
I like a girl who's not afraid to go out and ask or take what she wants. I'm really not. Because I am very similar. If I see someone or if I really want someone, I'm going to go out of my way to get it or get them. And so sometimes when they have enough confidence and when they have enough security, you know, in themselves to go out and, you know, go after what they want, I like that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Now, a lot of guys might be turned off by that. Some guys might just cower away because they're not used to it, and they're not secure within themselves, and they might back away, you know?
Now, here is a interesting question, since we're doing... I'm just going to keep moving. I'm just going to keep moving, Matt. We've got a lot of interesting questions that are brought to us here at the Q every single week, and I don't always get a chance to do it. Finally, the website's up to date with the newest episode, plus you're listening to this episode. It'll be up soon. Mark... Do you feel it would be considered wrong for the penis of a child molester to be removed and donated to willing recipients of those who've had their genitals removed due to car accidents and cancer and things like that? Wow. Okay. We here on the queue tend to get a little controversial, and I don't think that this is really that controversial.
I think it is.
I don't think this is that controversial. I mean, it is controversial, but like, okay, here's the idea. A child molester, they castrate him.
Okay.
Because he did bad. And then there's people that need a working member.
Okay.
So they give it to that person.
They don't need it.
Well, do you see, like...
And we're talking cruel and unusual punishments. This is unconstitutional.
Do you feel that this is unconstitutional? Do you feel that a child molester... Let's go down this road.
If you're going to geld or castrate a child molester, that, I believe, would be considered cruel and unusual punishment.
If they were convicted of child molestation.
Yeah, that's cruel and unusual.
You really still feel
it is? Yeah, I think the Supreme Court would uphold that it is cruel and unusual.
Which is better, to put them to death or to castrate them?
No, I don't think death... Because a lot of people don't think that death is a suitable punishment. Yes, there are people that are like, oh, yeah, kill the child molesters. Waste of society. We'll protect the children. And okay. I get that. I really, really get that. But I think that if they were to spend time in jail and just lock them up, is it a financial burden on state? Yes, but I don't think that they should die.
But if they get castrated, then we release them back into... I mean, you just got castrated. You're probably not going to go down that road anymore, I would assume.
Probably? No, they won't, because they can't.
They can't. Exactly.
Now, they could still...
Do stuff.
They could still do stuff.
Yeah, okay, so death...
They still got hands. They can still mess with a lot of people's children and innocence.
But there are a lot of people out there that
have... And plus, think about it this way. Let's say you lose your junk, okay? You get into a car accident and it is crushed and it has to be removed.
Removed, yes.
And you're sewn up. Would you want a child molester's
junk?
Junk?
No.
Because of where it may or may not have already been. And now it's on you.
Yeah.
Now you got it.
But see, is it the... Okay, then you... Like, we have to step one step outside of the question and go... It's an inanimate object. Like, it's the person in their brain that chooses to use that in a bad way. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm not sitting there going, hey, give me child molesters.
All right.
You know.
Okay. Now, for child molesters or rapists.
We'll say weenie.
That weenie has been in people, has been a part of, it has been part and parcial to rape. You want that now to be a part of you?
I don't know.
You feel that
you would
need
have to like discuss it? Like,
would you feel that you would need to disclose that information to your wife?
Okay, like, now that's what I was just getting
now
ready to
bring I have up. A rapist's weenie. Are you okay with this, Mrs. Wife?
Now, here's the funny thing. Here's the funny thing. I was just getting ready to bring up. I would probably have to sit on a few days and talk to my wife about it because I think that
Are you cool with a raper's weenie being in you?
I can't say that I would be cool with that. But I guess it really comes down to, like, my need to have that phallic...
Gratification.
That phallus. I mean, it's... I don't...
You know, if you're...
this is a deeper
if
subject.
If you're dismembered, probably, you know you can have a tube installed,
this
right?
This is a very good question from our guy Brian, but it's a simple, like...
It's weird
wow.
and twisted.
It's twisted, and there's so many parts to it, it's hard to, like, just generalize and have, an opinion.
I'm going to pull an Obama.
Pull an Obama on me.
Answering this question is above my pay grade.
Is it? Well, no, I think that...
Didn't he pull that on something, on the whole abortion thing once? It's like,
but then eventually he came out...
Because he was like, I'm not God and I can't answer this, and he used that as his little cop-out to not answer the question.
Well, as long as we're on the weenies, we might as well finish off with the last
one. Oh, wonderful.
One. I'm going to leave this one out there for all the ladies, okay? Why don't you guys hit us up?
It's a good one for the ladies.
Go to theqnow.com or go to @SavageVibration. Mm-hmm. Go to Savage Vibration on Facebook. Go to theqnow.com's Facebook page. But go to the contact page. Hit me up, mark@theqnow.com. Women of the world, size or stamina, what's more important? I think that that's a wonderful place to be, especially since we're in the middle of weenie talk as it is. I had someone ask me size or stamina, as if I would be the justification for this. But I don't have an answer to that because I'm a guy. So if I had like Bill Delaney on or potentially Ed Reggie on, one of my more homosexual counterparts that like to jump on my show every once in a while, which, by the way, we're getting close. We are at show 82. You're listening to show 83. We are 17 shows away from the big 100. 100 episodes of The Q. Not to mention the hundreds of episodes of Ramblings with Matt and Mark and Savage Vibrations and Absolute Wrestling Radio and everything else that we've ever done. We are right there.
For the 100th episode.
For the 100th episode.
For the 100th episode of The Q, you should do a 24-hour
marathon.
Talk marathon.
I should. If I had a place to where I could pull that off and people cared that much. Like, I get a lot of listeners. Like I said, I got 6,000 plus listeners that listen to the show, but they download on their own time.
Right.
They just get the new show when they do.
I wonder what the Guinness Book of World Records is for the longest podcast. And if doing a consecutive 24-hour live podcast, well, maybe not even live, would be like record-worthy.
It's potential. I'm sure that somebody's tried out there. I'm sure somebody's
just
attempted.
Talking. Nonstop.
I know of a couple of podcasts. There's one out there that's really popular that I listen to every once in a while, called Nobody Likes Onions, and a few others.
I like onions.
They have a marathon show they do every once in a while,
really?
And 8-9 hours straight.
What?
Yeah, I've heard it. I've jumped in on it a few times and caught it in the middle of it. It's entertaining, but you know. The guy Patrick who runs that show is a very entertaining guy in himself. But regardless of that, there are shows that do that. So
you said do.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're up against the bottom of the hour. It's time for some CBS News. We'll be back on The Q right after this.
With all these buyouts and all of our companies going overseas, there's no reason our beer needs to be owned by a foreign company.
American Patriot Beer is a crisp, clean lager, full of flavor and full of American spirit.
And it's being brought to you by some of the very same Americans who lost their jobs to buyouts. You're going to love it.
It's all been made right here in the USA. The bottles, the grains, even the paper for the cartons.
One taste is all it takes. American Patriot and American Patriot Light. Now available in bottles and cans.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Q. Of course, Mark Bland, Matt Kruger, joining me today here on The Q. Thank you so much for being here today.
Pleasure to be here.
We've decided to flip it up a little bit here on the last half hour of the show because we've decided to do one of our famous tournaments of pop culture. We've done many tournaments of pop culture on The Q, but we don't always get a chance to get all three people that I need necessarily in to do them. But we were like really geeking it during the break on maybe doing a tournament of pop culture, and we came up with a great, great topic, and we have 16 phenomenal contestants for this topic.
Mm-hmm.
The topic is Best Action Movie Star. That's what it is, Best Action Movie Star, and here's our list of players.
Now, you know, little...
In fact, well, instead of giving you the list, we'll just go down and we'll start breaking the bracket down since we don't have a ton of time to play with.
Well, yeah, and we didn't have a whole bunch of time. A little disclaimer here. We didn't have a whole bunch of time to come up with this list.
Right.
So I know that there's people that we're missing.
Yeah, there's definitely people that we're missing on this list. But the list that we got is really, really solid. Multiple decades. Really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
So, and don't worry. We got Arnold on there and we got Sylvester. So you there's nothing missing there. We've got your two big dogs there. So you're good. All right, in the first round, Matt, we're going to do Clint Eastwood. This is a big one. This is a big fight, man.
Ooh.
Clint Eastwood versus Arnold Schwarzenegger right off the bat, dude. That's a big
come
big,
out swinging.
Swinging hard, man. That's a big, big one to pull from. With Clint, a lot of great movies like Unforgiven. Oh, gosh. Now I'm looking down the list. You know who else that they didn't even have on their list that they could have? They could have had, what's his name from Dancing with Kevin Costner.
Yeah,
he could have been on that
dude,
list.
Dude, Robin Hood?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've got some big dogs that just didn't make this list. So
dances.
Clint Eastwood versus Arnold Schwarzenegger, swinging hard right off the bat. Clint's got some good movies, Unforgiven. He's a great director. He's done really well with the director.
We're not talking about directors. Action stars.
That's right. And he's got a lot
list of action stars.
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly? Huh? A lot of his stuff is more, how would I say,
Western
based, because in his early years he did a lot of Westerns. But then you got, you know,
he's got these Dirty Harry, man.
You got Dirty Harry. Don't forget all the Dirty Harry. You also have the movie he did with the chimp, Any Which Way But Loose. That's a great movie too, right there. Arnold though is swinging heavy, dude. Arnold swinging heavy.
Dude, he was Terminator.
Yep.
He was Conan.
Yep.
He was the last action hero. A little bit of comedy in there, but dude, he was the last action
hero. Just the fact that the movie True Lies, phenomenal movie.
True Lies was a solid movie.
Yeah, very, very
good.
It's
one of my guilty pleasures, right up there with Armageddon.
Plus, you can't forget about recently, he had End of Days, he had Collateral.
Damage.
You know what we forgot about?
Huh.
We forgot about the one, not Universal Soldier, the other one that he did that was really, really well known. It was like where his head shakes real fast. Wasn't Universal Soldier. Dang, it's escaping me now.
I'll look it up.
Somebody has to hit me up on that. Okay, so we got that. Also, we can't forget, like, Arnie, he did Commando. And Predator.
Commando, yeah.
And Predator.
Predator, dude, yeah.
Like, so
I'm going Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I think Arnold Schwarzenegger has to move through. Just for the sake of it, we have a coin here because we don't have a third person. One side of the coin has a triangle on it, the other side doesn't, and we'll just flip it randomly, and we'll just see on this Arnold Schwarzenegger Clint Eastwood where that would have fell. We're going to say that Arnie is the triangle.
Okay.
Okay? So we're going to flip that bad boy right there and triangle up. Arnie moves on.
So you went Clint Eastwood, and I went Arnold.
Yep. That's what happened.
Huh.
So I'm trying to get... This isn't moving forward like it should.
Grab it and drag it.
I tried to grab it and drag it, but it wouldn't go.
Huh.
Man, that's not working for us. Okay, so I guess we're going to have to write down in some form or fashion.
All right, give me just a second.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
We're wigging it here.
We're wigging you here. He's running over to the other side of the radio studio to get us a piece of paper. So Arnold Schwarzenegger moves on in the bracket, which I don't understand. Oh, I guess we could have edited the bracket right there. That would have been nice.
All right, so we got Arnold.
We have Arnie. So next on this list, Tom Cruise.
Ooh.
Versus Harrison Ford.
Oh.
Tom Cruise versus Harrison Ford. We've got Indiana Jones and Han Solo going up against Mission Impossible, Top Gun, Days of Thunder, Minority Report,
War of the Worlds.
War of the Worlds. There have been a lot.
But with Harrison Ford, you got Star Wars. You have Blade. The three Star Wars movies. You have Blade Runner. All the Indiana Jones. Those are excellent, excellent action movies. And they're not just popcorn action movies. Those are good ones.
If we were to choose between Tom Cruise and Harrison Ford, who had the best movie?
Were you thinking about The Sixth Day with Arnold?
That might have been The Sixth Day, yeah. If we had to choose between the two...
Which movies do you prefer to watch?
Wow, that's a great question. Probably Harrison Ford.
Like on a Sunday, you're sitting around with the family. Are you going to pop in Star Wars or Indiana Jones? Or are you going to pop in Mission Impossible?
Wow, you know, Top Gun and Days of Thunder were really good movies,
dude,
man.
Yeah.
And technically, I would rather personally watch Top Gun as opposed to Indiana Jones. Nothing against Indiana Jones, he's great. But I would rather watch Top Gun. I just like the movie that much. There's a little nostalgia in there. I'm going Tom Cruise. I'm knocking out Harrison Ford. I'm nothing against Harrison.
I would have to go Tom as well.
You're going Tom Cruise. And Tom Cruise moves on against Arnold. And it's what? What were we saying?
Nothing.
Okay. Jackie Chan versus Mel Gibson.
I'm gonna say without a doubt. I don't even have to discuss it. I'm gonna say Jackie Chan.
I have to argue on behalf of Mel. Lethal Weapon's movies were really good. Plus the finale scene from Lethal Weapon 4 with him and Jet Li. You get kind of that, you know, you get to see the badassness of Mel Gibson. Now, I know he's a little racist now. He doesn't like Jewish people, evidently. But, you know, and then Road Warrior, Thunderdome. I mean, we got some good movies, you know, but Jackie Chan, like, he's been
Jackie Chan, and here's one of my reasons.
Rush Hour's okay? good.
Jackie Chan has been in over 100 martial arts movies and action movies. He does all of his own stunts. Can you say that about Mel?
No, you can't. Jackie Chan's moving on. Jackie Chan gets the move on. Next up, this is going to be a tough one for me. Jean-Claude Van Damme, for nostalgia purposes, versus Denzel Washington.
Ooh.
I hate to pick against Jean-Claude. Love Jean-Claude. Bloodsport's one of my favorite movies of all time. And if someone came to me and said,
Kickboxer,
hey,
man.
You have to choose between this movie or that movie to watch, and you have to put, you could either pick one movie by Denzel or one movie by Jean-Claude Van Damme, I'm probably going to pick Training Day. By Denzel Washington.
Training Day is excellent.
It's a really good movie, and I think as far as action stars, Denzel's done a great job of showcasing that he can be a badass when it comes time.
Dude, Man on Fire?
Man on Fire was phenomenal. I saw the movie Unstoppable that came out with the guy who plays Chris
Pine.
Yeah, the train movie. Really good. Really well done.
I haven't seen it.
Plus, there's the one, Pelham 123, with John Travolta, where he's the train conductor. Like, there's a lot of good stuff to pull from Denzel.
I haven't even heard of that movie.
So I'm going to go with Denzel Washington. What about you?
I was going to go Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Well, if you're going to go Jean-Claude
Van Damme. We got to go to the coin.
We've got to go to the coin. So we're going to say triangle is Denzel.
Well, just heads versus tails. Triangle is the heads.
Triangle is the heads, and that's Denzel. And if it goes out the other way, it's Jean-Claude.
Okay.
Here we go. Let's try that again. It's tails. Jean-Claude moves on. Wow.
Right.
Jean-Claude moves on. JCVD gets himself a reprieval to an extent. Steve McQueen, who has a very similar acting style to the next person we're going to bring up, Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris versus Steve McQueen.
All Chuck Norris jokes aside, do we count those in?
I'm going to say that
it's... No, we're just talking about action movie star.
Yeah, well, you've
not
got...
Not lore.
You've got, with Chuck Norris, you have the one he did with the kid who killed himself a few years ago.
Sidekicks.
Sidekicks. You've also got, what else do you got from him? You have Delta Force from the
Delta
80s.
Delta Force. Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got, it wasn't Mission Impossible, but it was something like that. Like Mission something that was real popular that made a name for himself back in the 1980s. Bring up that Chuck Norris stuff. I mean, we got Walker, Texas Ranger that you played.
Walker, Texas Ranger.
What else do we got? Go on down. All the way down. You got Delta Force. What else? You got Firewalker. Lone Wolf McQuaid, Missing in Action. The Octagon, that's an old school one where he did, but we can never forget Return of the Dragon, him and Bruce Lee.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Steve McQueen, though, Bullet, Gone in 60 Seconds, the original.
Mm-hmm.
Steve, he's a legend.
Inferno.
Tower Inferno, man, he's a legend. I don't know, though.
Who's more eclectic? Who has a better range out of the two of them?
Well, Steve's a better actor and more range, but I would say the Chuck's probably got the
more...
Who's
the better action star? Who has the better presence and body language?
Chuck. Chuck Norris, by far.
All right.
I would say
Chuck.
We're going Chuck Norris. We're going Chuck Norris. Nothing against Steve McQueen. Love your cars, but hey, man, we got to move on with Chuck. Next one is going to be a tough one, too. Most people would say probably not, but I really like the other actor in this swing here.
That's a tough one.
Bruce Willis versus Jason Statham. We can't forget the Die Hard movies. Die Hard is the it for Bruce Willis, plus the whole nine yards. Bruce has got a ton of great movies. 12 Monkeys. He's done a lot of really great stuff. Fifth Element. He's done a lot of great stuff. But with Jason Statham, I think Jason just embodies an action star more.
Mm-hmm.
Like with the like Transporter and The Bank Job and movies like that, I think he just comes off a little bit more with a little oomph to him, you know what I'm saying? That's my only knock on Bruce Willis. Bruce is cool because he's Bruce. Bruce isn't cool because he's an action star, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? But then again,
Dude, he was in... Oh, okay, we got
Yippee-ki-yay, I'm a refer. Yeah, I mean, that's the most famous.
We have Tears of the Sun. We have Hearts War. We have the Unbreakable, where he plays a superhero.
Oh, we forgot. You know what else we forgot, too, with him, which isn't much of an action movie, but Sixth Sense. Great movie.
Oh, dude, he was in Armageddon, one of the biggest action movies ever.
All right, I might have to switch this up. We might have to go Bruce Willis. I'm going Bruce Willis.
I think he's got that...
Armageddon, I think, swings it for me.
I think he's got that tenure to him.
I think Armageddon swings it for me.
Ooh, what about The Last Boy Scout? Did you ever see The Last
Boy Scout? Or Hudson Hawk, that horrible movie. Let's not forget that. Okay, so move Bruce Willis through. Bruce Willis moves on to the next round. The Rock.
Ooh,
The Rock.
Heavy hitter, new up-and-comer, kind of.
Versus Will Smith, also relatively newer since the 90s. You know, he's not like...
That's a racist bracket right there.
That is not a racist bracket. The Rock versus Will Smith. Pound for pound, the better action star, in my opinion, is The Rock. Movie for movie, Will Smith wins.
Will Smith pulls in more money.
Will Smith pulls in more money, and his movies, like, I like Walking Tall.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good movie. Driver or Driven or whatever it was.
Right.
The one where The Rock. Plus, I talked about it earlier here on the show. The Rundown. Great movies.
Rundown is a great movie.
Very interesting. But it doesn't really hold a stick to Independence
Day. And now you have the Fast and Furious movies, which, by the way, you know who we left off? We left off Vin Diesel.
It happens. Well, you know what? Maybe on Savage Vibrations, we'll do another set of action stars.
You know what we could do is everyone that's not on this list, we'll make a completely different list with a whole new set of action stars, and then at the end on Savage Vibrations, we'll take the winner of this one and the winner of that one, and we'll put those two together.
Fair enough. Okay. Ooh. Will Smith has better movies, though. I Am Legend, you got Independence Day, Bad Boys. I'm going to have to go.
iRobot.
I hate to say this, man. I got to go Will Smith.
I would go Will Smith as well.
I got to go Will Smith, man. I really hate to say that, but I got to go Will Smith. This next one is going to be... This could potentially be a finale. This potentially could be a finale, but Sylvester Stallone versus Bruce Lee.
Woo!
That could be a potential finale for this entire tournament of pop culture. For nostalgia's sake, I'm going Sylvester Stallone. I love Sylvester Stallone. Rocky was very influential to me when I was a kid. We can't forget anything that Sylvester Stallone did. None of it. Even Over the Top, arm wrestling and turning the hat to the back. He did Copland. The guy has done a ton of really... Expendables just came out. Like, that was a really decent movie. I mean...
All of the Rambos, the Rocky movies, those are big, big, big action movies.
And here's the thing. Rocky trumps Enter the Dragon. Nothing against Enter the Dragon. It's a great movie, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably better than any of The Rock's movies. Nothing against The Rock. I'm just saying that against Rocky, you're going to be tough to pick.
Now, I had heard something one time that we can thank Bruce Willis. Not Bruce Willis. Sylvester Stallone for Bullet Time. Because during his Rambo movies.
Oh, Rambo, yeah.
During all of the Rambo movies, like any type of like war movie or anything like that, it was basically somebody pulls back the bow, shoots the arrow, and split shot right in, arrow hits somebody.
Right.
What he decided to do was, no, let's enter in some time there where the arrow has to travel.
Right, and show some...
And show the arrow
slow motion
traveling.
Aspect.
And so basically through creating arrow time, he... Consequently created Bullet Time, where you slow down
in the Matrix.
And you allow time.
Which is Keanu Reeves, who could be on our list.
Yeah, Keanu Reeves could definitely be on the list again.
All right, so I'm going to go Stallone.
I'm going to go Stallone.
Stallone's moving on. All right, we're moving to the second round.
Yo, thanks for moving me on.
Hey, no problem.
And we are moving on to the second round of our tournament, which we don't have a ton of time left, but we're going to work on it. We're going to work on it real quick here for you guys. Arnold Schwarzenegger versus Tom Cruise. That's a tough one. I like Tom's movies better.
I like Tom's movies better.
Arnold
as well.
Is more iconic action star.
Uh-huh.
I hate
he's
the
got the bigger build. He's got the big muscles.
Like the total action package. And, you know, his plethora of 80s movies is really, really strong. Between...
But eventually he starts falling off.
Right. Tom Cruise, on the other hand, really hasn't fallen off. I mean,
he still picks his movies really well, and he consistently comes out with money-making movies that showcase him as...
Except for Day and Night. which was horrible.
I never saw that one.
That's the one with Cameron Diaz. It was just really bad.
Never saw that one.
Let's you know, on this one, man, I hate to do this, but Top Gun, man. Okay. What's Arnold's best movie, you think? Honestly. Arnold's best movie.
Terminator 2.
Terminator 2. Probably is Arnold's best movie. Tom's best movie? Arguably Top Gun.
Top Gun, probably.
If I had to choose between T2 and Top Gun, oh, man.
Yeah, when you put it that way.
Sorry, Tom. I got to go Arnie, man. The Terminator is moving on. Oh, I had to switch up at the last second. I'm going Arnold. What about you, Matt?
Arnold.
All right. Next up is Jackie Chan
versus Jean-Claude Van Damme.
JCVD sweeps in. And, okay, if I had to choose, I'm going Jean-Claude on this one. I hate to say that, but Jean-Claude, dude, just the idea of Bloodsport was a phenomenal idea. Just take, like, which eventually turned into the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
Taking multiple people with Hoist Gracie, put them against a sumo wrestler type thing like that.
Right.
It created its own, like, genre beyond. I'm probably going to say Jean-Claude Van Damme.
And I'm going to go Jackie Chan, because once again, over 100 movies, he's the stuntman. He does
But I would
everything.
Rather see Bloodsport before I'd rather see
Oh,
Rush
not
Hour.
Me. I would rather see Jackie Chan in all of his gloriness.
All right.
Like, hopping through alleys and jumping through ladders
right.
and face-kicking the crap out of people.
JVCD, Jean-Claude, is living off of the coin
flip
here.
Flip of the coin.
The flip of the coin. So, once again, he is...
Well, we got Jackie Chan is heads.
Well,
and we'll
no,
go
no,
Jean-Claude
no, no. We're
going to
say Jean-Claude is heads. We're just going to leave it at Jean-Claude. Either Jean-Claude wins or he doesn't. Done.
All right.
We're going straight
you make
through.
You make a coin toss complicated, man. Tails, Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan is moving on.
Chan.
All right. Next up.
Now, we have Chuck Norris.
You're right.
Versus Bruce Willis.
Willis versus Norris. I'm going Willis.
Yeah.
I hate to say it like
Willis,
that.
Yeah.
Willis, it's just like there's just
I
more there.
I enjoy Bruce Willis's movies more.
Yes. And
All
I think.
As much as I like Chuck Norris, he still seems to me like a B-list.
Fair enough. Yeah. He does.
All of his, like, his movies don't have very much production to them. But
okay.
With Willis, it's always over the top.
Yep.
Greatness.
All right. Will Smith, our last one for the semifinal or the quarterfinals. Will Smith versus
Sylvester Stallone.
I kind of go Stallone.
Yeah.
I hate to do that, man.
Once you get closer, all of these choices. Okay. Now, for this next little bracket, I think it's going to be
Stallone
a little
bit is moved on through. Okay. Here we go. Final four. Arnie Schwarzenegger versus Jackie Chan. Hands down, I gotta go Arnold again, man.
See, and this might be hipster of me, because I'm pushing Jackie Chan. I love me some Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan's living off the coin again. Heads he goes through, tails he does not. Ladies and gentlemen, here we go.
Tails!
Arnold Schwarzenegger moves forward. All right. Bruce Willis. Versus Sylvester Stallone.
Ooh.
Tough one. Die Hard's are good movies. And Die Hard with a Vengeance was very entertaining. You see, where Bruce Willis kind of picked up in the 90s and he did okay and still had some cheesy stuff from the 80s, mm-hmm. you know, like Die Hard and all that, Stallone fell off in the 90s. He didn't come back around until the remake of the Rocky movie and mm-hmm. then the Rambo movie. And now he's kind of hitting it with the Expendables.
You know, one thing I always liked about Bruce Willis's movies is that you could take a snapshot of what he looks like at any particular scene, and you can guess how far into the movie that picture is from, because it's generally, at the beginning of the movie, he's clean, no dirt, no rips, no tears, and then as every single movie progresses, he's just covered in more dirt and more holes and more blood.
Maybe we have to do it this way. Bigger, iconic character. Rocky... or John McClane?
Rambo. John McClane.
Rambo or John McClane? I gotta go Sylvester. Rambo's a much more iconic, much more easy to grab for. And it's...
Who's more relatable?
Who's more relatable? Well, that's the thing. First Blood, the first Rambo movie, he didn't play it up like Part 2, where it was all super actioned out.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he acted a little bit more. It was more the... post-traumatic stress disorder guy who mm-hmm. was, like, trying to fight off the town that was trying to kill him, mm-hmm. you know? I guess still got to go Stallone, man. I like Stallone better, man.
I will concur.
All right, Stallone moves on. Here we go. It is the finals on this episode of The Cue.
It's the battle of the absolute heavyweights.
Arnie.
It always comes down to these two.
Arnold versus Sylvester. And if I have to choose between these two, it's the T2 versus Rocky again. Like, it really comes down to Stallone acting as Rocky, which really there isn't much acting there. And Arnie is just a big, tough dude. Like, if I had to choose side movies, I'd even, you know, Over the Top versus True Lies. True Lies was a really good movie.
Right. Well, you know, you've got Halt or My Mom Will Shoot or Junior.
Hmm.
Oh, wait, no, not Halt. Stop or My Mom Will Shoot or Junior.
I'll probably go Stop just because of Danny DeVito. Like, if I have to choose between these two, I'm going Sylvester Stallone.
See, now me, I'm going to go with Arnold. And I have a specific reason why I'm going to go with Arnold. Arnold holds a very special place in my heart. You know, even though, you know, right. I voted against him with the Jackie Chan. But now I'm going to pull this little nugget of information from my past. When I was in college, I had a buddy. His name was Ian. And once a week, or once every couple of weeks, whenever we could all get together, we would have movie night over at Ian's. And this is downtown Savannah, Georgia. We would run an extension cord outside of his window. And in downtown Savannah, Georgia, we would sit on the sidewalk and drink beer and watch on a little console TV Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. We would have Arnold Schwarzenegger movie night.
All right. I'm flipping the coin. Sylvester Stallone is the triangle, the heads. Arnie is the tails. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, we're flipping the coin. And it's heads. Sylvester Stallone wins the Tournament of Pop Culture for the Best Action Movie Star. Now, you might disagree with us. Hit us up. Go to theQNow.com. Go to the contact page. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Facebook at Mark Bland or at theQcast. Also, Matt Kruger, Savage Vibrations, at Savage Vibration, no S, for the Twitter there. And then you can also find him on Facebook. And we're going to do another one of these Tournament of Pop Cultures on Action Movie Stars. With different action movie stars, because there was a bunch of people like Nick Cage and people like that that didn't make the list. So we're going to put them on another list, and you need to stay tuned for that. Thank you so much for listening to us here on WestplexNewsTalk.com. Thank you so much, Matt Kruger, for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And that's going to do it for us here on The Q. We will see you guys next time on the show. Say the silly